like to have fun. Yeah! It gives me great pleasure this morning. I said we have a surprise. Keep playing, that's good. And the two people I'm introducing this morning have been here since the age of 11. Right when I came in and started my ministry here in the Lighthouse Church. They've been faithful right throughout, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Right through all these years, they've been faithfully serving in this house. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Sean and Shane. Woo! And it's amazing to see how much they've grown and matured in the Lord. And even their time at university has been a step forward, a step upwards. That they've been blessed so much by the ministries that they're involved in. That's why I say always, getting involved in church always makes you grow.
Yeah.
There's never a place that you can grow in other than getting involved in the ministry, in the church. Why? Because the church is God's body. And wherever there is a church, God's presence is there. Because He comes within us. He is with us. And they have just gone a step up and matured so much in the churches that they're serving in. And I praise God this morning that as they come and minister, they come with an anointing and an authority that comes from the Spirit of God to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. So they're going to do a double act as twins this morning. You ready for that? Okay, let's give them a big hand. Sean and Shane. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning.
Yeah, so how are we doing this morning? We good? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking good today. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you look even better. So this morning, me and Shane are going to bring a short word for about 30 or so minutes on the power of encouragement. And even just then, in that small comment, you know, it's easy to notice, you know, the smile you put on someone's face, or the joy that can be seen in such a small phrase. So if you're taking notes, if you'd like to title this message, The Power of Encouragement, You Look Good Today. So my first point is the motive behind the motivating. Why do we encourage each other? Why should we encourage each other? Why should we build each other up? And that's just sort of a preamble to set the tone. Whenever I go out with friends or I meet with friends outside of church, I often find that it's so easy for us to insult each other, to put each other down, to make fun of each other, even if it is just banter. It's constant negativity. And even though it is lighthearted, there is more of a broken world. There is so much negativity flying around in the world outside us that we do have a duty to build each other and therefore build the outside world as well. The more that we build each other, we create an atmosphere in this church. An atmosphere of faith where God can move. An atmosphere of faith unlike the world outside. And, you know, there is no reason why the church shouldn't be the most encouraging environment on the planet. So I'm just going to pray before we get into the word. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father, that we can gather together and discuss your word. And I pray that as I'm speaking, that our hearts will be receptive, Lord Father, and you help us continue with this through the coming weeks. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Philippians 4:13 with me, some of you may not need to turn. This is a very, very famous scripture. Christian and non-Christian, you may have heard this at one point or another. Scripture being, I can do, or we can do, all things through Christ who strengthens us. I absolutely love this verse. It's so simple, so poignant, and yet there is so much in it. As you can see there, the word strengthens, if you didn't know, the root word in Hebrew, going back to the Hebrew root word, it means, you know, it can be translated as encourage and comfort as well. In fact, the root word in Greek as well is often translated more as encourage as it is strengthen or comfort. So reading it again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, yes. I can do all things through Christ who comforts us, yes. I can do all things through Christ who encourages us. Yes. And something that I'm sure a lot of us have noticed, that if there is one thing in the Bible that we are called to do above all else, if you had to pick one significant thing we had to be, it is to be Christ-like. 1 John 2:6, whoever says that they abide in him, him being Jesus, ought to walk in the way that he has walked. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am like Christ. And finally, 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I absolutely love the scripture as well, particularly that last part. It calls God, it names God, the God of all comfort. It doesn't say the God that likes comforting or the God that enjoys to comfort. It says the God of all comfort. And also keep in mind that comfort and encourage throughout the Bible can be used interchangeably as well. So we can say the God of all encouragement. It doesn't, and like I said before, it doesn't say he likes encouragement. It doesn't say he encourages. He is of encouragement. It is built into his being, into his very fabric. Therefore, to be Christ-like is to encourage. To be Christ-like is to build up your neighbor. And when I'm talking about encouraging as well, it doesn't always have to be such grand, big gestures. You know, you don't have to buy expensive gifts for people to place value on them. Sometimes it is as subtle as a smile, as a small comment saying, you know what, Sean, you preach really well today. It can just be an amen here or there. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big gesture. It can be really small. Those of you that went to Acts Conference Momentum in April, remember Mark Ritchie talked about carrying the smile of God. And he told a story that it really gripped me and it really shocked me. For those of you that haven't heard it, I'll say it again. One day a man, he jumped off a bridge, he committed suicide, and his family and friends were, well, they were shocked. They had no idea he'd fallen into such depression. So out of this, the detectives, the police went into his house, into his rooms, into his office, into his study, and on the desk was a really small note that said, I'm going to the bridge today. If one person smiles at me, I won't jump. And I heard this and my heart broke because I felt so almost convicted, thinking that how do I really carry myself in the world outside? Do I look like someone approachable? Do I look like someone that's friendly? Am I being friendly? Or do I look quite hostile? And, you know, as Christians, as being Christ-like, as we aspire to be Christ-like, we do have that responsibility to carry the joy and that light, that encouragement into the world outside, because Lord knows they're not going to take it to each other. It's up to us to do that. And all it takes is, you know, 1 second, 2 seconds of willing to admit what you admire about the person next to you, willing to get real with each other for just 1 or 2 seconds. And my second point is I am entitled to encourage and be encouraged. I'm going to lead on by saying there are three types of people that you'll see that won't really encourage anyone. Person one, and by the way, I might add that I'm very grateful that none of these people are in the Lighthouse Church. We are a church that encourages and edifies, amen? So person one, the I don't want to inflate his ego person. The person that says, you know what, I will take it upon myself to teach him humility by not telling him how good he is. And none of us are really in that position to be telling anyone else to be humble. Everyone struggles with humility at one point or another. And who knows that the Holy Spirit is good at humbling people. He is a pro when it comes to conviction. So I think he's got that one covered. So yeah, if someone is doing a good job, by all means, let them know. Tell them you've done a good job. In Proverbs 3:27, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, for the power is in your hands. And particularly just those last five words there, the power is in your hands. Whoever is reading this, whoever has heard this, you have the power to encourage. You have the power to build up your neighbor. There we go. Yeah, so everyone is capable of encouraging. Everyone can encourage. even if you think someone hasn't done a great job. My pastor in Loughborough, he says to the serving team every Sunday, he says, if someone has done a job that is 99% rubbish and 1% good, you big up that 1% as if it was the entire job. You make him feel good about that 1%. However, if he's done a job and there is nothing good, then you make something up and you encourage him anyway. Which I absolutely love when he says this, because, you know, he doesn't mean it literally. He doesn't mean just lie to their face and say, you know what, making up what they have and haven't done. He's just trying to get across and portray how intentional and active we have to be in our encouragement towards each other, which I absolutely love. The second person, his affirmation diminishes my contribution. This basically means that the bigger I make this person look, the smaller I look myself. The more I let him know how good he is, people will realize that I'm actually not as good. It's a very dangerous mindset because it is ultimately rooted in jealousy and egotism. To think that by making my neighbor look big or make my neighbor look good makes you look small is the total opposite. You completely miss the point. As we spoke about earlier, we spoke about Hebrew translations of the word encourage, to encourage. One of them, which I thought was absolutely, you know, it gripped me, was displaying strength. To encourage is to display strength. Me building up my neighbor, me pulling up my neighbor and pushing them forward is me displaying strength. Doesn't make me look weaker. Doesn't make me look smaller. It makes them look better. It makes me look stronger. And also in my experience, people that have encouraged me, people that have invested in me, I began to look up to them and respect them and really admire them, because it does take a degree of maturity, I realized. And also I realized that they had a willingness to invest something in me by saying what they said. So my third person is I haven't been encouraged yet. So this person, having fully embraced the concept of being entitled to encouragement, and we are entitled to encouragement, probably takes it a step too far in that they're not willing to act unless or until they've been encouraged, therefore not willing to encourage others until they've had their encouragement. Until their spirit has been fed or their ego has been boosted, you know, I need my encouragement to encourage. Some people, it really isn't their fault. Some people do go through, you know, the valley. And in those times, you do need people to stand with you, to build you up, to pray with you. And I'm not undermining the power of community, because community is powerful. However, for anyone going through that valley situation, that dark moment, that dark season, an encouraging scripture, Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap should we not lose heart. So it's in that valley, in that dark moment, in that low place, that is the time that you do not grow weary, but instead you encourage your neighbor. You build each other up, because to build someone else up, believe it or not, builds you up as well. As a community, as a family, iron sharpening iron, we can all grow and encourage together, moving forward together. So... That was actually my last point. So I'm going to hand over to Shane, who's going to continue on. Thank you. That was an absolutely fantastic message, Sean. let's all show Sean how much we learned. We'll show him how much we learned about encouragement by encouraging me loads, yeah? That's how you prove to Sean that you've really taken on board what he's been speaking about. But yeah, and also just this whole experience of preparing a preach, and it's really forced me to grow. It's really, really stretched me, and it's just given me a much, much deeper appreciation of what Bob and Pastor Sam, Dad, you do on a weekly basis. So can we give them a hand as well, just to show them some appreciation? So yeah, as Sean said, we're speaking on the power of encouragement, and I'll be talking on three further points on that. And during my preach, I'll be asking you quite a few questions, and that's because I want this change, this culture that we're trying to set, to last a lot longer.
And just a little side note, Paul Scanlon talked about, he did a little leadership seminar, and he talked about this concept of intrinsic versus bolted on change. This doesn't really have anything to do with encouragement. It's more to do with, like, it's just helpful to know when it comes to understanding, learning something, and then trying to apply it. So yeah, Paul Scanlon said this, he brought this concept, intrinsic versus bolted on change, and he used the analogy of, so say it's New Year's, and you're looking for a New Year's resolution. You're like, oh, I need to do something. I need to better myself this year somehow. So you're looking around, you're like, okay, that person there, what are they doing? They're learning a new instrument. That person there, they're giving up chocolate or something. I think, oh, that person's going to the gym. Oh, yeah, I think I'll go to the gym. I can afford to lose some weight. We'll go to the gym. So they go to the gym every day. And, you know, this person, they're doing cardio, they're running, they're weightlifting, doing as much as they can. They got to improve their figure. And usually these people, after about 2 weeks, will kind of give up. Their willpower will have burnt out. That's because that the change that they were trying to bring about didn't come from an understanding of why they were doing it. They were doing it because someone else was doing it, because it was fashionable. Whereas someone who understands that they need to go to the gym, that they need to be healthier, they want to be healthier, will gym until they are healthier, not for a certain amount of time. They'll do it until they've completed it. Encouragement, I want us to make this church healthier. And if we understand the power of encouragement, the culture we set, the environment we set will be healthier. Is that good? Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. So yeah, my first point, if you're taking notes, the fourth point of this overall preach, is encouragement pulls out potential. It pulls out potential. And another way of doing this is seeing in someone what they don't quite see within themselves. And quite a simple example of this in the Bible is when Jesus called the first disciples. It happened on the beach. The first disciples, I believe, were Simon Peter and Andrew. They were sorting out their fishing nets. Jesus just walked up to them and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And what he was doing there was he was looking past who they were, he was looking past where they were, and he was seeing in them who God wanted them to be. He looked past them being fishermen, seemingly uneducated men, and he said, you know what, I see the call of God on you and I want to lead you into a place where you can fulfill that potential. And sometimes it does take an outside view. It takes another person to do that. I mean, I've never ever heard God tell me that I'm good at music. I've never heard his voice say, Shane, you're good at music. It's just not happened. But I have had people encourage me and say, yeah, Shane, you're doing well. You know, the way you played the bass today was great, or something like that. Through other people, I learned that. It's our job to encourage each other on behalf of God. Yeah, Jesus saw what he wanted them to be. Matthew, he was a tax collector, and tax collectors those days had a really, really poor reputation because a lot of them stole, hiding behind the law. They were written off as sinners, as cowards hiding behind that law, and as just thieves, really. But Jesus had to see past that. Jesus had to see past what society had labeled them in order to call them to what God wanted them to be. It took someone else to tell Matthew that, you know what, I want you to be the man of God you're called to be. And through those tax collectors, through the fishermen, through those seemingly uneducated men, you know, thousands upon thousands of people came to know God. And through those disciples, the sick were healed. The Holy Spirit flowed through them. Through those sinners, as it were, the early church was birthed and founded and changed the world for millennia. All because Jesus managed to see past where they were and who they were. Some people need to know that there is, that they can be greater, that there is potential within them, but they can't see it themselves. It's up to us to pull it out of them. Yeah, us, think of it this way. Us sitting here today was all because Jesus managed to do that. If he hadn't done that, if he'd saw sinners, tax collectors, and said, you know what, I don't like where they are, God can't use that person, we wouldn't be sitting here today because there wouldn't have been a church. And yeah, people thrive off encouragement. Myself included. So I'm going to tell you a little story. Back when I was in Newcastle, with a friend, I started a group every Wednesday. And it was great. It was really rewarding. But it did come with its own challenges. And one of the challenges was prep. Because you had to, we'd be talking about a certain subject every week. And you had to kind of read around the subject. You had to really know that subject well. And because, like, you'd get some awkward questions that would come up in groups. And usually, I mean, it's addressed to the whole group, but usually that person asking the question will look at you as the group leader and be like, what's the answer? And if you don't know the answer, you just kind of feel like a melon. So so you want to know the answer. So you prep as much as you can. And so this occurred for a few weeks, right? Prep, and then these questions, surely enough, would crop up. I'd answer them as best as I can. Hopefully they were good enough. And this was happening for a few weeks. And then I remember one week, a member who regularly comes to the group, literally just as they were leaving, just like a throwaway comment, they just said, "Shane, I wish that I could speak about the Bible like you do, with the wisdom that you do." And then they just left. And it hit me a lot harder than I was expecting. Who knows, the next week I was prepping even more. I was so hungry for the word. So I couldn't wait to just read and meditate on the word and read around those subjects, so that next time when I was asked those questions, I could answer them even better. It had changed my trajectory. And that's what encouragement does. It changes our trajectory. I like to look at it this way. If you have a graph of, let's say, like progress and time, and like this is your current trajectory of how fast you're learning it or progressing with it, every word of encouragement is just changing your trajectory. Every word of encouragement is just making you progress that little bit faster, because it spurs you on. Do you know what I mean? It gives you, Neil Hoffman put it this way, whilst I was reading around the subject, he put it this way. He said, "It gives you vision for victory. It lets you see your end goal and let you know that you're not too far away from it. It gives you perspective of what you're capable of." And yeah, he used this analogy, very similar to mine. He said, imagine someone's going to the gym again, the gym again. I mean, you never would have known that I went to the gym, but yeah. So say you're going out, you know, to the gym 7 a.m, and you know, you're trying to improve your figure, you're trying to lose some weight, you're trying to put on some muscle, you're doing this every day, day in, day out, and you're not quite seeing the results you want. You're getting frustrated. And it is frustrating when you don't get results that you want. And so this is happening, you're getting frustrated, you're working yourself up, then all of a sudden a friend comes along and they say that key phrase. They ask that key question. "Have you lost weight?" All of a sudden, it's okay. You're back the next morning at 6 in the gym. You're working harder. You're running further. You're swimming faster. You're doing everything you can, because now you know that your goals are in sight. It is working. You're going in the right direction. Another preacher called Matt Hoffman, he said this. He said, "The things I am most encouraged in are the things I will become best at." And that's so, so true. That is so true. And back to my story about the encouragement that I received, notice that the encouragement I received wasn't necessarily profound as such. It wasn't, "Oh, God will use thou mightily once thou hast seen the gate of heaven," or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It was literally just, "Oh, I wish I could speak like you sometimes." And that's because it's not always the encouragement of what you say that will make the deepest impact. It was the timing. For me, it was definitely the timing of that encouragement, because that was a tough month for me. It was February, and just during February, everything seemed to be ramped up. The workload from uni ramped up. I was serving more. I just stepped onto a youth team as well, which is a huge time commitment. And it was really, really tough, and I was feeling quite, my energy levels were low. But that short word, that little phrase, completely lifted me up and spurred me on and allowed me to keep going. It kind of drew my eyes to this verse. Sean mentioned it earlier. It's Galatians 6:9. And he said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And I wasn't exactly losing heart, but as I said, I was feeling really burnt out. That well-timed, short encouragement, which is not necessarily profound, did all it can to lift me up, and that's all I needed. It gave me vision for victory. A quote by Sir William Arthur Ward, he said this. He said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." And isn't it interesting that the most influential people, if I was to ask you right now, who are the most influential people on your life, who's had the biggest influence on your life, just take a minute to think about that. You probably picture the people who encouraged you the most, your parents, your family, your spouse, your teacher, the most influential people in your life. And I thought, as a nice little side thought, wouldn't it be nice to be the biggest positively influential person in someone else's life? That when that poor person is soaring to absolute heights, when you've lifted that person up and they're doing so well in life, they can look back and say, yeah, so-and-so was probably the biggest influence in my life because they didn't stop encouraging me in what I wanted to do. They didn't stop championing me and spurring me on. Yeah. And my second point here is don't cage the encouragement. Don't cage the encouragement. I'll say what I mean there. Encouragement is only really as good as the conversation that goes on with that person or about that person outside the time that you're encouraging them. So as in like, so for today, if I said to Sean, bro, I see the gift of leadership all over you and God's going to use you mightily. But then for the rest of the week, all he's getting from me is just me slating him, me like just, even if it is banter, but if I'm just, for the rest of the week, all he's hearing is, oh bro, your life's a joke. Then all I've done is I've given him that nutritious soil of encouragement which he can grow off, and then I've just put that encouragement in a box. I've limited his growth because I've given him that, but then for the rest of the week it's rubbish, isn't it? He's not getting anything. Yeah. I always have. I mean, sometimes I'm not always conscious of this, but I try to be really intentional with this in mind. I want the person that I'm talking to leave the conversation more uplifted and in a better way with themselves than when they started the conversation. If they leave feeling lower or the same, I haven't done my job as an encourager. And I mean, I'm preaching to myself for as much as you guys because I need to be more intentional with that as well. But yeah, as I said, it's like if you think of a plant, you give it that nutritious soil of encouragement, you give it that, and then you put a cage or a box on top of it. When that plant is sprouted into the outside world, it's getting nothing from that world. It's getting nothing from the remaining week of their lives because you've given it one thing, but for the rest of its exposure to this world, it's only getting, well, it's getting nothing. It's getting no nutrition. It won't grow. You have then limited its growth. You've caged the encouragement that you've just given. And also, I think we have to remember the importance of speaking positively about someone, even when they're not around. And because then if we're not doing that, then we haven't created an environment of encouragement. What's an environment? An environment is your surroundings. And if you're telling the surrounding people of that person things that are negative about them, you're undermining that environment of encouragement because you're allowing the people surrounding him to now doubt him, to not believe in him. And how can that person win if the people around him don't believe in him? It just won't happen. So we have to speak positively to each other. And this can become really hard when we fall out, when you get into arguments. It becomes so easy to slander and to gossip. And the thing is, we will always fall out with each other because we're human. God created us differently. So we will always fall out. It's about what you do afterwards that's the make or break of that situation. And yeah, as I said, it becomes so easy to slander and gossip. And a weird fact that I heard like a few years ago, but it's kind of stuck with me. And it's just weird how your mind works. Is if you look at yourself in the mirror for more than 4 seconds, you will find 7 things, consciously or subconsciously, you will find 7 things that you don't like about yourself. Which is weird. Which tells me that the human eye, that us as humans are naturally trained to see the worst, not just in ourselves, but you can apply that to other people. We're naturally trained to see the worst in other people. Like when you see someone, you're not going to see their talents, you're not going to see their gifts, you're not going to see the anointing of God. You probably see how scuffed their shoes are, or the stain on their shirt, or how last season that dress was, or something. you're not going to see, oh yeah, no, God's anointing is all over you. So it's up to us to, like, it almost becomes natural to slander and gossip in that way because that's what we're seeing in people. It's almost natural. But what I want to do is I want to create a new natural, a supernatural, and we're only going to do that by constantly speaking this heavenly language, and we only do that by constantly encouraging each other. Is that good? All right, so my third point is where there is no encouragement, there is automatically discouragement. Where there is no encouragement, there is automatically discouragement. So in heaven, is there any discouragement? No. So looking at that previous statement, if there is no discouragement, there must constantly be encouragement, right? So in that way, I don't know how it works in heaven. I don't know if, like, because we're constantly in God's presence, he's just, like, the source of all encouragement. Or I don't know if it's, you know, everyone's walking around just constantly complimenting each other all the time. I don't know. But it's our job to bring heaven down here. If there's no discouragement up there, there shouldn't be any here. That means if there's always encouragement up there, there should always be encouragement down here. And because if we don't encourage each other, then there are 101 other voices and opinions out there that will influence people. And usually those opinions aren't great. Usually they aren't good. They're definitely not as good as the good news we carry. So it's as a youth leader, as I said, I joined youth team, and it's great because you get to know some of the kids there. They're brilliant, and some of them are like some great kids coming through the youth group. But you also get to know some of their insecurities. And a lot of their insecurities come from social media, because social media is, I mean, what is it? It's basically you uploading the best bits of your life. You know, you don't upload like pictures of when you're in the valley, as Sean said. You upload the best bits of your life. So if you, as a teenager, are looking at other people's, their highlight reel, essentially, and you're constantly comparing your day-to-day with their highlight reel, you're always going to feel mediocre, and you're always never, ever going to be satisfied with where you are, because it's your everyday life. You're just going to be feeling mundane and mediocre. But I think that we, as a the youth of today, need to be told more than ever, we need to be those influences in their life. They need to be told that they are enough, that they are loved, that there's nothing they can do to separate them from the love of God, no matter what they do, that they aren't inadequate. They are sufficient for God. They can be used by anyone. And if we aren't the influences and the voices in someone else's life, then someone else or something else will be. So it's up to our job to take that upon on ourselves. A lack of encouragement is discouragement. And I'll finish with this. Proverbs 25:25. It says, as cold water is to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Who knows, after you've just done some exercise, you're panting, you're breathing heavily, you're really tired, the only thing that you crave more is a long, cold glass of water. You know, orange juice won't quite cut it. You don't really want a pint, because that would just dehydrate you even further. It's just nice, cold water. And that's because it says good news, encouragement. It's refreshing. It quenches the soul. It's refreshing to us. If you're working so hard, so hard, and you're not getting that encouragement, you're not receiving that good news, as it were, then what can we say about the condition of your soul? It's not receiving that water. It becomes dry, it becomes weary, and it becomes lifeless, essentially. It can be so hard, and without encouragement, as I said, you're getting no vision for victory. Without encouragement, it's so easy to lose perspective of why you're doing what you're doing. It becomes so easy to do that. So the soul becomes dry without that spiritual water, becomes lifeless. But what did Ezekiel do to the things that were dry in Ezekiel 37? He spoke life into them. He said, these dry bones shall live. He literally spoke life into that situation. So I want us, as we go out from here, to be those people, to speak life into each other's situations, to constantly encourage each other and pull out that potential in each other. It takes someone else from an outside view to look at you and to say, yeah, I see this, this, and this. Like, you might think you're this far away from your end goal, but you're actually here. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So I want us all to stand up. And I'm gonna pray us out. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We just step into your presence right now, Lord Father. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to better understand the power of encouragement, so that we may be encouragers in every sphere of influence we have, Lord Father, in our workplace, to our family, to our church friends, Lord Father. I pray, Lord, that we will be nothing but encouragers. I pray, Lord, that when people come to speak to us, they will leave that conversation feeling more uplifted. Jesus, feeling better about themselves, realizing that God has a plan for them, a purpose for them, that he loves them, Lord Jesus. They should know that and be secure in that, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to hear your voice, Lord Jesus, to help to hear what you want us to say for that person, to be specific for that person. Lord Jesus, help us to be more in tune with what you're saying, Lord Father, so we can more deeply impact and lead people around us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
the altar, the Father's arms are.